Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 31st of December, recording at 9:35 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, this being Friday, it's a big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes, but first, a quick review of the week. It's been a quiet week, as you might expect, for the year-end. But not without some interesting events. Stock markets have been mostly steady, primarily ranging, but the vast majority of them are all to the left of their rising 200-day moving averages. And there is more action, actually, in government bond markets, which, as you know, had been really hammered from August onwards, with prices falling quite sharply, yields rising, before accelerating somewhat. And having lost downside momentum, we have seen some clear evidence of a short-covering rally in here this week. And not least yesterday and today, and I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a little more of that, but more in a moment. The US dollar has been easier generally, and as I speak, we have the euro up at 133.77, sterling back above 156, the Australian dollar up at 1.0234. That's interesting. And the Asian dollar index also has closed out the year at a new high for the year. Now, commodity markets have been mostly rampant, just very, very firm across the boards. Precious metals have had an extremely good day here today. Some renewal of overall upward trends. The industrial metals have also been quite firm, and they've had a quiet year in comparison. And again, the grain and bean complex, very steady overall. I don't have time to list them all in terms of the actual strength that we've seen. And that's going to be important in 2011. Now, what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, they're still benefiting from this accommodative monetary policy. And that's certainly going to continue as we go on into the first quarter of the year, I assume. Although investors will be anxiously watching the results next week, because the first week of the year is sometimes regarded as a omen or indicator of what happens during the rest of the year. Like all these things, sometimes it works, and a good part of the time it doesn't work. But the psychological reactions will be there, and it'll be discussed, no doubt, throughout much of January. But as far as Fuller Money is concerned, the monetary policy, which Owen wrote about yesterday, remains generally accommodative, although we can see the next trend developing, and that is with the flourishing economies leading the way up in short-term interest rates. They have done so more slowly in this cycle than would ordinarily be the case, because they didn't want to see their currencies pushed up too rapidly, and they were still concerned about the overall weakness of the U.S. and European economies, or some of the European economies. But it's obvious, as obvious can be, that at some point we will see a normalization of interest rates, and that will mean that rates actually go higher, and that will become a headwind for global equities. But it has not been too much of a headwind so far, although one could argue, and indeed I will argue, that the inflationary pressures experienced in some of the faster-growing economies, which in turn have led to the incremental increase in short-term interest rates, has nipped the performance of those markets. Although we have to be a bit careful when we look at China, and you've got so many different Chinese indices that the main A-share indices are very much dominated by the banking indices, although PetroChina, the oil company, is the biggest one listed there. But this is a factor, and will remain important going forward. That is the gradual tightening of monetary policy. But as of today, we still have negative interest rates, in other words, below the prevailing rates of inflation, and that is still a favorable net environment for global stock markets. Now, some people feel that interest rates won't rise at all in the United States in 2011 and possibly even in 2012. I think it's likely that they will start to move up at some point, but more importantly than what I think about that, I think we can be quite precise about what will be the main factor pushing rates higher. Yes, GDP growth is certainly important, but something that I have mentioned almost daily in these audios now for quite some time is that the next big problem, as far as I'm concerned, is commodity price inflation. Now, you see it all around you, not just in today's strong gains, or this week's strong gains, which I reviewed. You see it in the strength of the gold price. You see it with crude oil back above $90. You see it more dramatically in the strength of just a whole host of other commodities, and not least the agricultural commodities, with the important food prices moving higher in here. Now, I think that trend is very likely to carry on at least into the first quarter of next year and 2011 and possibly well beyond. Now, what will eventually change it? Well, as you saw back in 2008, and again, we had just a little bit of review here for the some of the newer subscribers, that Fuller Money had really been saying from 2000 and on, well, starting in 2001, that a major recovery cycle in precious metals was occurring, likely to be a secular bull market. From 2003 onwards, we were talking about a commodity super cycle and providing historic evidence of these very long-term trends in commodities. And this one was emerging, as happens with all great bull markets, from the ashes of a very long and significant bear market, 21 years for gold, for instance. And the view, as we moved on through the decade, was that the only thing that would interrupt the super cycle significantly would be a recession. And well, we certainly saw that in 2008, and I'll repeat again here today that the only thing that will significantly interrupt this commodity super cycle, which we are experiencing, will be that combination of higher short-term interest rates, which we also saw in 2008, and partly in response to commodity price inflation, and another recession. That would bring commodity prices down really quite sharply. For one thing, it would pull all the long-only speculators out and attract some short selling, but it would also dent demand for those same commodities. Today, however, the situation is one of to repeat, accommodative monetary policies, which commodity markets have benefited from as much as stock markets. And in terms of the price gains that we've actually been seeing. And then there has been the caution on the part of suppliers, which has meant that as the global economy recovered, supply has not caught up with the demand as quickly as some people had actually been forecasting. That's hardly surprising, given the fright that we saw in 2008, that commodity producers would be a little more cautious. And then there's been the whole rare earths saga, which has taught more commodity producers that if they emulate some of China's moves, that they'll get more dollars for whatever commodities that they're producing and exporting. So there's a little bit of gaming the system, as there always is in any major market cycle. And last but not least, we've had the devastating turbulence in weather conditions, leading to floods in some areas, drought in other areas, heat in other areas, and that have so damaged crop yields over this year, 2010, and there's yet to be any significant respite to that. And of course, as these commodities are produced all over the world, there are always crop cycles in play, so it certainly isn't all about what's happening in the West. And the African and South American crops are being buffeted by various different factors, not least too much precipitation. Okay, so commodity price inflation. I've described it also as a current opportunity. It has certainly been that over the last few months and more, and is very likely to remain so in the future. The big event will be for the grain and bean complex, just to remind you, will be on the 12th of January, when the U.S. Ponies up with their estimate of the final in terms of final stocks. They may try to disguise it a little bit, but there's only so much you can bend the truth here. And the only question in my mind today is, everybody knows this, or everybody in the know who's in these markets knows this. So will this be a case of buy the rumor and actually sell the news? Well, if the USDA massages the figures a little bit, we could get a knee-jerk downward reaction, you know, on the day of the release or the few days thereafter. But I think that really looking at the chart action overall, and for with what I've been told about the supply situation, I think this is a genuine, significant bull market, and that the risk is very much to the upside, not only over the short term as we've been seeing, but certainly over the medium term, meaning in the next several months at least. Now, that will cause problems if that's the case. So the ones to watch, really, how much do the crucial grains and beans, including rough rice, how much higher do they actually go? And the big one, of course, the biggest one of all, by far the most important commodity in the world, is crude oil. Will all the renewables and alternatives and efficiency improvements that countries such as China and pretty much every other developing country are trying to make, they're trying to catch up with the West in terms of more efficient usage, will that be enough to prevent another price spike in crude oil in 2011? Well, it would be very nice if we avoided that price spike, but I wouldn't count on it, And the chart pattern can certainly support significantly higher prices for crude oil. If it occurs slowly, it'll be less damaging than if it occurs very, very quickly. But needless to say, but I'll say it anyway, a significant spike in crude oil prices would be a game changer. And such events trigger recessions, particularly in the West, where economic growth is fragile, to put it mildly. So now there are no shortage of things to worry about in terms of problems. Many of the old ones are still known, but we're gradually working our way through that whole deleveraging process. The debt problems and sovereign debt problems in particular will be with us really for quite a long time. These are known issues. It doesn't make them any less significant. But what is not fully grasped, in my view, is the potential seriousness of this commodity price inflation. So I describe it as both an opportunity, which it is right now and has been for a number of weeks, and also the next big risk here as far as stock markets and the global economy are concerned. So that's something that we will need to stay right on top of throughout 2011. And believe you me, Fuller Money will be looking at those trends on a daily basis, just as I suspect will many of you. Okay, now what else to mention? Long-dated government bonds. We saw sufficient weakness in the long-dated government bond prices. Again, very much a Fuller Money prediction there, that it actually became, in the short term, a crowded trade. Those moves became somewhat overextended. They accelerated downwards, yields accelerated upwards, and before losing momentum. So we're now in the technical rally phase for the long-dated government bond futures. In other words, yields are getting a pullback and consolidation. This is consistent with activity which I maintain is really in the base development phase for long-dated government bond yields. They're building bases. So the 30-year bull market is ending with a bottoming out process. It has actually ended, but we're still in the base building process before yields sustain moves to the upside. That's why I've been using the baby steps tactic in shorting it so far, and I'm hoping that this rally carries a bit further, as it well may. There's still some government QE buying in there, but I think this is mostly short covering, and that it will create another opportunity to lightly sell on strength these long-dated government bond futures. And some of you who don't wish to do that will be looking for opportunities to buy TBT and the RIDEX, I think it is, those short ETFs that are listed in the United States. I've done a little piece on them today in answer to an email, so you'll be able to read about that when I post it before going home to enjoy the rest of the New Year proceedings. Okay, what else to mention? We've covered stock markets and a lot of emphasis on these currency markets, beg your pardon, these commodity markets. In terms of currencies, well, I think we get mostly ranging activity. But when the so-called, and these terms are banalities, we hear the risk on, risk off term, but everybody knows what it means, and I'll use that. But when people are in a risk on mode, the US dollar is going to be relatively inert, possibly weaker. When we get into the risk-off mode, in other words, animal spirits subside and people take fright, then the dollar strengthens a bit further. And we'll certainly see plenty of that in 2011. My view is that we will get at least one significant downward correction in what ought to be a pretty profitable year overall. When I say a profitable year overall, and don't put a great store in this forecast because it's really a seat of the pants guess, but I wouldn't be surprised if stock markets end the year higher than they begin. But more importantly than that, I expect some roller coaster moves during the course of the year. And those are opportunities, as they proved to be in 2010 and also in 2000 and 9. Unless my worst fears for in terms of commodity price spikes to the upside, if they are realized sooner rather than later, then that would increase the risk of not just a correction, but a maybe a mini bear market here in equities. But at the moment, I wish to emphasize we are still in a cyclical bull market for most stock markets generally, and I do expect that to continue into the at least into the first quarter of 2011. So, on that note, it's now left for me only to wish you a very well, first to thank you for your considerable interest in Fuller Money over the past year. Owen and I have really enjoyed sharing this year with you, and when I say sharing it, I mean the fine emails that you do send us, which are both informative and inspirational. As I look back on 2010, I think it's been a very profitable year for many of us. I hope that you are able to take advantage of most of those profitable opportunities, and I think we'll have many more profitable opportunities in 2011. Really, the charts will show us, as they say. So I just wanted to thank you and to wish you a very healthy, happy, and prosperous 2011. All the best. Oh, last point, Monday's a holiday in the UK and many other countries. Next update will be on Tuesday. All the best.